Councillor Goldman.
Mr. Mayor, I endorse what's been said before myself. I just want to also acknowledge the work that this council has done. So that being the people employed by council, it's amazing what has been done in such a short period of time if we really think about it. The pandemic sort of hit us quite strongly, not quite Horsham as such, but other areas within our country have been hit very hard. I know my family's had a hit due to the pandemic, and I'm sure other people have as well. It's not a very nice time at the moment. However, there was one part on the council summary, so in this report, that I just wanted to mention. It was one of the parts that I really took heart to, and it's in the summary part. It says, council has implemented a softer approach on all current debt collections and on any follow-up with overdue payments. A financial hardship coordinator has been appointed as a single point of contact within the organisation for all hardship matters. And this is the part that I think is probably going to be the most beneficial to our community during this time. So please contact our council if you are facing hardship, because there is an opportunity there for support.
Thank you, Councillor Goldman. Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one of the issues that concerns me is where we're heading if we listen to a lot of the financial advisors and experts, the potential is for a very substantial depression. That's going to last for many years. One of the things we're careful of as a council is making commitments that commit our community to significant funds. So what might seem like easy dollars at the moment may have a legacy cost that our next generation find impossible to bear, because we've effectively spent beyond our means. So we will need to be very, very careful in what we do going forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Robertson. Any other speakers? Thank you, please. Yeah. Okay, I'd just like to finish up by taking a community perspective for a minute and just reflecting on the changes which were announced today, some of the easing on restrictions. I think my personal view is I think both government at the federal level and at the state level are doing a great job in extraordinarily difficult circumstances. I think our federation is in a good shape. It's important that each state does its own thing in the fact that each state is different. Certainly the Prime Minister has a guiding hand role, and certainly some decisions, yes, are really important to come from Canberra, but also I also believe in the Federation side of it, where each state has its own important government which does things which are right for them. And I fully actually support what's been happening. I think it continues to be a very difficult time for many people in our community, our families, and from the youngest to the oldest. It is a very stressful time, and I think this community has pulled together well. This community featured on national television this morning with some lovely good stories and some ideas of what's happening here that could be tried in other places. And it was a reminder this morning of what's happening in Horsham and in the Wimmera, that despite the trouble and despite the challenges, that we are moving forward. I thank Mr. Butler for his report. I do want to acknowledge some of our staff who have been redeployed, doing things which might be totally different from what they were doing, but the flexibility shown by our staff, I think is important to acknowledge. I also wanted to acknowledge the many agencies in our community who are working together so well. And there's over 30 of them. I certainly won't list them all, but just to say the agencies in this community are working very well at this time. I think that's all I'll say, other than we had contact with a family member in France over the weekend. And when you talk to someone who's living in France, realise the conditions there under the strict conditions, it puts perhaps a little bit of a different perspective on what's happening in Australia. So we're in pretty good shape compared to what's happening in other parts of the world. So I think that's all I had to say, other than to now move the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Move now to item 9.2, which is the delegations update. The purpose of this report is to approve updates to Council's delegation to staff with changes arising from the Maddox Lawyers Delegation Service and for any new change position titles or responsibilities that have occurred. It's quite a lengthy recommendation there, councillors, but it's an important one.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation and I will read it out, but I have a slight amendment which I'd like to put to Council.
So away you go, Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that Council exercise the powers conferred by Section 98(1) of the Local Government Act 1989, the Act, and the other legislation referred to the Instrument of Delegation Appendix 9.2A. Horsham Rural City Council resolves that there be delegated to the members of Council staff holding, acting in, or performing the duties of the offices or positions referred to in the Instrument of Delegation to members of Council staff, the powers, duties and functions set out in the instrument subject to the conditions and limitations specified in that instrument. The instrument comes into force immediately. The common seal of Council is affixed to the instrument. Dot point three, on the coming into force of the instrument, all previous delegations to the member of Council staff other than the Chief Executive are revoked. And four, the duties and functions set out in the instrument must be performed and the powers set out in the instruments must be executed in accordance with any guidelines or policies of Council that it may from time to time adopt. And Mr. Mayor, I would like to amend the document, one of the delegations. And I'd like to, S14.7, it's listed on page 80, and I'll read the delegation out. It's power to appeal against a decision of the head transport for Victoria. I believe we should not delegate that to the Director of Infrastructure.
Okay, thank you. So I suppose the question needs to be, councils need to have visible access of S14.7 to know what they're voting for.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's part of the attachments and it's on page 80. It's actually one of the new delegations.
Yeah.
It's listed on page 80 and again, it's listed on the back of that appendix 9.2A.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I could share that on the screen if you so.
That will be very helpful, Mr. Harrison. Thank you. Mr. Harrison's going to share it for us, and that'll help us through.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so S14.7. Okay, we can all see that there. Okay, so what I'll do now, Mr. Harrison, I'll get you to take it off the screen. We've all seen it. Okay, power to appeal against the decision. And Councillor Grimble, what I'm going to do, I'll cast that as your motion, right? And I need a seconder for that, please, which has been seconded by Councillor Robertson. Thank you. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A lot of the delegations have been thoroughly reviewed and they are operational and relatively straightforward. The one that's listed there that I believe should be by resolution of Council is indeed to the power to appeal against the decision of the head Transport Victoria. I'm not quite sure what that means, but on the read of it to me, if we're appealing against any decision that's been put out by Transport Victoria, I believe that we should do that via a report from the Director of Infrastructure and a resolution of Council. And we should exercise the opportunity to seek a report from the Director of Infrastructure and indeed by resolution appeal against the decision of the head Transport Victoria. So it's just a multi-stage process, Mr. Mayor, and I believe it would assist indeed that level of authority to the director that should be a council decision, not one afforded to the officers.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Martin, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. And just to provide some further information about that section, it's the section of the Act which relates to the declaration of freeways or roads as freeways or arterial roads. So I think it's the sort of thing that's unlikely to occur on a very frequent basis. It hasn't occurred in the 8 years in my time. It's also the sort of thing that I would expect there'd be significant consultation with between the Department of Transport and Council before any such declaration. The only potential gap for Council to consider is that it does require a period of 21... There's a period of only 21 days in which an appeal may be made, and that may not quite give enough time to do everything that Councillor Grimble quite reasonably is expecting, Mr. Mayor, in relation to implementation of that section. So sort of bits of some information there for your consideration, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Thank you. Mr. Councillor Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In supporting what Councillor Grimble has put forward, I certainly agree with that. And thank you. If we take the responsibility, I believe it leaves the director and the director's staff free to engage with Transport Victoria, unencumbered by the notion that they've taken some action to challenge the direction made by that group. So I think it's good policy for us, and it's good protection for, in this case, Mr. Martin and his team. I fully support Councillor Grimble's motion.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Robertson. Any speakers against the recommendation, the motion, sorry? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Clark?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have concerns about restricting our ability to actually act when the issue arises. If it's only 21 days and we don't have a council meeting in that period of time, then it completely hogties the director, Mr. Martin, into acting when he has to act. So I've got grave concerns. If we move this motion, we're going to be stopping our director from doing what he needs to do in his role to protect this community or to act on behalf of this community. I have no doubt that a report will come to council with what's happening, but I do believe that we've got to be very careful that we don't move a motion that means that we can't appeal in a 21-day period when that's required. So that's my concern. But, I think these delegations are put there for a reason, and they usually comply with the Act, and they're there for a good reason that Mr. Martin needs to act, and he needs to act within 21 days. Council could completely restrict his ability to do his job.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Any other speakers? I'm actually happy to speak for the motion. I can see that, and as Mr. Martin said, this isn't something that happens regularly, hasn't happened for a long time. I think if there were circumstances where a special meeting had to be pulled together for an important decision, I think that could happen. So I'm happy to support the motion tonight. Councillor Grimble, we have a right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And sorry I didn't mute while the other councillors were talking. But can I say that you picked up a very valid point that, as Mr. Martin highlighted, that this is not likely. It doesn't happen very often. But if it does happen and we need to comply with the period of 21 days, indeed we can call a special meeting to deal with that particular process. When Mr. Martin mentioned that it will require significant consultation, that straight away draws the conclusion that I believe the council do need to resolve and be involved in that discussion and do what we're tasked to do. I don't believe it would restrict council's ability at all. In fact, if we delegate the authority without allowing the community to be involved through a decision-making process, which we're elected to do, we are restricting our ability as councillors. And the fact that it's not likely, Mr. Mayor, the fact that we've got a process that allows us to call a special meeting, and we can ultimately see a report from the Director of Infrastructure up and that recommendation can be debated, which is appropriate for us to do. And no doubt that I believe that we could pave our way through through any concerns as raised by Councillor Clark. I dismiss those claims as something that we could manage quite easily. So I encourage councillors to support it. And indeed, if we're proven to be ineffective in what we do, we can do that as part of a review and issue the delegation. This is not finite. We review these often enough, but I believe the council at times needs to exercise the powers given to us under the Act, and there's times where we should indeed delegate our authority, and there's times where I believe that we should retain the powers given to us. So this is one of those cases. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Gribble. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Move to item 9.3, which is the quarterly financial...
Mr. Mayor, I had points unrelated to that motion in relation to the delegations.
Sorry, you had an opportunity to speak before, Councillor Robertson.
We were dealing with a particular motion. That's been the only discussion, Mr. Mayor, not other areas.
Yeah. So, Councillor Grimble moved the whole recommendation. He read it all out, and then he finished by adding the little sentence at the end. That was the motion.
Yeah. I understood we were dealing with the motion in relation to one particular section.
That's the way it happened, and Councillor Grimble made a point of reading out what he was moving.
Okay, I can deal with my matter another way, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Item 9.3 is the quarterly finance report, January to March 2020. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the quarterly performance report for the 3 months to 31st of March 2020. And there's a two-part recommendation there, councillors. Which has been moved by Councillor Grimble. You'd like to read it out, please, Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have a slight change to the motion or the recommendation which is tabled. So I'll read that with the word smithing that I propose. I'd like to move that Council receive and note the quarterly performance report for the 3 months to the 31st of March 2020. And that the paid parking in the Horsham CBD and charging for footpath trading permits will remain suspended until changed by resolution of council. The financial impact of the actions and other service disruptions will be reported in the next quarterly performance report.
Okay, so we just need to clarify if Ms. Frankham's typing that up, Councillor Grimwell. If you could read number two slowly, please.
Okay. Paid parking in the Horsham CBD and charging for footpath trading permits will remain suspended until changed by resolution of council, full stop. The financial impact of these actions and other service disruptions will be reported in the next quarterly performance report.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Seconder, please. Councillor Golvin, Councillor Grimble.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I won't say too much to the report provided for Council's consideration and understanding, but just note that the little bit of wordsmithing that I did there really doesn't change the intent, but what it does, when Council resolved to go back to the status quo, if they elect to do so, that a report be provided to Council and the opportunity for the Council to change that back to the original, or indeed to remain in its current environment, we could do that by resolution. So that's the only change I've got there. But the quarterly report was provided for the quarter January to March 2020, and it highlights a number of aspects of Council's work. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Golvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any speakers against the recommendation? Councillor Robertson.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I guess this is the only way I get to make a comment in relation to the concern I have, Mr. Mayor, which I tried to raise in the previous item, was the City to River project is not endorsed by council, and we've got the CEO reporting in this report that $44,000 nearly has been expended on consultants and also other actions in train. There is not a motion as yet that supports those, so City to River hasn't been put before the community in accordance with Section 125 of the Local Government Act, which also requires us to give the community 28 days, I think it is, to comment, and that would be difficult at this time with the COVID issue. But until we clarify that, Mr. Mayor, there's elements of this report that really can't be progressed. And we've already spent $44,000 of ratepayers' money without an authority to do so.
Thank you. Any speakers for?
Councillor Koenig. Mr. Mayor, sorry.
Councillor Koenig.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I support Councillor Gribble's wordsmithing, as he put it. I think generating the conversation at council level to return to parking and footpath trading permits would be valuable discussion to be played out for the community following a council report when and if the time comes to reverse the decision. So, I support Councillor Grimble's motion with the changes.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? I'll just add a little thing about the financial and different other assistance that we're doing for our community at present, and certainly Councillor Grimble mentioned before that they're working on the budget at the moment, and I think it's important that our community realises that. And so certainly we're seeing here some of the early interventions that council did as a result of the pandemic. But it's also important to note that as our work on the budget continues, that there will be other ways, or there are proposals for other ways for us to assist our community. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? Oh, sorry, Councillor Grimble, you have the right of reply. Councillor Robson spoke against it. Sorry, Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, the only point that I will make is that this report really is provided for information of council. It has no binding effect as such. It's a report provided to us by Mr. Harrison. It outlines indeed a lot of financial and reporting, which is we have to do by statute. My slight change in the recommendation was really just to allow council to resolve, make the change by resolution to action indeed the change to footpath trading permits and parking in the CBD. So we just flesh out a report for that, and then council would resolve to, or not resolve, to change what currently we know has been suspended. So that's the only thing I really wanted to mention. I think it's a report that we see 4 times a year, and it's a snapshot of what council its finances. But again, the crux of the report's not actually buying it, for information to council as I see it.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. 9.4 is our procurement policy. The purpose of this report is to adopt the revised procurement policy following its annual review in accordance with Section 186A7 of the Local Government Act 1989, with a recommendation there to councillors.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Clark.
That council adopt the revised procurement policy.
Would someone like to second that, please? Seconded by Councillor Koenig. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a really important policy in that it outlines what council can and can't do when they're putting out contracts, and many of them are very large amounts. So it clearly states exactly what the process is, so there is no ambiguity. Everyone knows that when they apply for a contract or council are operating in any form that to receive goods or services, that it is a clear process. Everyone knows exactly how it's done and why it's done that way. So it's a really good policy. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Koenig?
No, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Grimble?
Mr. Mayor, just a question for you, either to the CEO or Mr. Harrison. Just a request to highlight the changes in the policy and the thresholds just for the benefit of those in the chamber and those that are following our meeting environment, please.
Mr. Bella?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. So there are so the main change is in relation to the dollar threshold. So and they're actually listed on the second page of the report. So effectively what we're saying is that in future, if the council endorses this policy, in future for any purchases up to $1,000, we won't be requiring any quotes. Sorry, I should restart, Mr. Mayor. So in the new policy, for any purchases up to $1,000, we won't be requiring any quotes, so that stays the same. For any purchase between $1,001 and $3,000, there'll be minimum of one verbal quote required. For purchases between $3,001 to $15,000, there'll be a minimum of one written quote required. Purchases over $15,000 and up to $150,000, will require a request for quote process with minimum three quotes. And then any purchase over $150,000 will be through a public tender. So there are the changes in relation to the thresholds. There's also some changes in relation to the request for quotation process. So all quotations these days are now through our online portal. There's also an inclusion of authority to approve financial variations to the contracts. We'll also include a ability to procure light fleet vehicles through WIC Fleet, which is a state government contract. The amounts I mentioned earlier, they're now all inclusive of GST. Previously, they didn't include the GST. And then there are some minor changes in relation to terminology and language.
That's pretty much it, Mr. Thank you. Councillor Grimble?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question actually related to the change in the thresholds, and it probably might be a question that might be one to take on notice. You'll probably need the previous policy to tell me what the changes are. So if that question could be answered perfect, if it can't, that might be a question on notice. The other question I had is in relation to the exemptions from a quotation or tender process. And it outlines in the report that, and I agree with the fundamentals and the principles between why there needs to be exemptions at times, but can the CEO or Mr. Harrison provide an example of what might be a justifiable reason for not obtaining a required number of quotations and hence the need for an exemption?
Maybe I can answer that, Mr. Mayor. So it is by, you're right, Councillor Grimble, it is by exception, you know, and I don't actually remember when was the last time I actually did sign an exemption. So all exemptions from the procurement policy, they are signed off by me. And I would suggest that it's very rare. And so an example would be where there is only one supplier for a particular item, you know, where there's no other alternative supplier available. So that can apply to, say, for instance, if you have an item of plant, you know, if you have a Caterpillar grader, you know, we can only buy the parts from Caterpillar. We can't actually buy from somewhere else. So that's an example. So it's about where there's only a sole supplier or trader. The other example I can think of is when there's some urgent work required, which is of an emergency nature, where, you know, going through a procurement process would actually hinder the response to the emergency. That's another example. So again, it's very rare, you know, that we have to exempt any procurement under our policy.
Thank you. Mr. Harrison, did you want to make any comments?
No, Mr. Mayor, I suppose the only thing with the revised delegation at the revised levels of the thresholds is that they are now aligning with the state government best practice recommendations.
All right, good, thank you. Councillor Grimble, anything else?
No, Mr. Mayor, happy to support the recommendation and appreciate the responses from the officers. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Any other speakers? I'm happy to support the recommendation, but I've got to be honest, Mr. Bower, I'm still a bit nervous about accepting verbal quotes. And we've been in business for a few years now. And if someone asks for a quote, I think the safest thing you can do is put it in writing. But anyway, I support the policy, but I still reckon that I hope we don't get unstuck there. I'll put the motion now. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. 9.5 is the Grampians Tourism Visitor Servicing Review. And for this section, I have a conflict of interest. So I wonder if someone can move that Councillor Clark becomes the temporary chair for this item, which has been moved by Councillor Power and seconded by Councillor Golvin. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Councillor Clark, it's over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Can I have a mover for that recommendation, please? Councillor Coney?
Yes, so I move the recommendation, Councillor Clark, and it reads that Council Item 1 receive and note the Grampians Tourism Visitor Servicing Review Report. Item number 2, enter into a service level agreement to A, consolidate Horsham Rural City Council tourism marketing activities with Grampians Tourism across all distribution channels. Section B, ensure Horsham specific marketing is delivered. Top point 3, implement the recommendations for a Horsham Visitor Servicing Inspiration Centre at the Horsham Town Hall, including noting the proposed parking arrangements and development of a key stakeholder communication plan addressing steps and timelines.
Thank you, Councillor Koenig. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillor Koenig?
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Not a lot of discussion. This has been brewing along for some time now, the review into this. I do note that recommendations from the report, there are 3, and that one includes further research, and the idea of a Horsham Visitor Inspiration Centre is one that's a little bit different and a little bit exciting. I think, you know, we did a good job at promoting Horsham this morning on national television, like Mr. Mayor referred to earlier, and let's kind of keep some of that momentum. So this was more of a let's keep this momentum ball rolling, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Coney. Councillor Powell?
Click on that button, I'm right to go. Thank you, temporary mayor. What can I say? The report, when you read through the report, and it is a great report, it really is. It goes into just about everything you want to know about southwestern Victoria. The amount of time that's gone into it and the report that's come out of it is brilliant. It really is. There's a lot of stuff in there that I've never really taken much notice of before, just taken for granted. But I, after reading through the report, like I said, it's brilliant, and it brings out Western Victoria and what we should be in Horsham celebrating. The fact that we should be here as a regional centre, and we should be putting it out there to everybody in Victoria that Western Victoria and Northwestern Victoria, where we're a part of, has something to sell and something for people to come and be a part of. So for this report to go out, I think it's brilliant. I think it should go out, and it should go out in a really big way. And we should congratulate the other councils too for being a part of it. That's all I've got to say. Thank you. Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Power, Councillor Power. Do we have any other speakers for or against? Councillor Robinson?
You're on mute, Councillor Robinson.
You got me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I'll speak against the motion, not opposed to improving tourism, but the notion of the tourist centre at the town hall doesn't make a lot of sense if everyone could go to 95C, which is the map of where people would park, or if it's possible to bring that up on the screen. I think you'll see what I mean.
Is it easy to get up, Mr. Harrison?
Yep, bear with me a sec.
So while that's happening, Madam Chair, the current visitor centre is very accessible to traffic coming into town. It's easy for people to park, there's plenty of room, and it's a very short distance into town. And when we get a chance to look at what's proposed, is there are an area opposite Target or adjacent to Target that would cater for one or two or three long vehicles, and many of our tourists these days have got long vehicles, caravans, etc. So number three on the map. So to expect the tourist community to actually manoeuvre to that location and then do a U-turn with a caravan to park, to then get out and then to walk into the tourist centre is just not practical and won't work, can't work. And the other parking points that are shown there also are going to be exceptionally difficult. So we've just not catered for the increasing grey nomads, which are actually worth a lot of money to this this community. So I think that needs a big rethink, I can't see it working, so I can't support it for that reason, Madam Chair.
Have you finished, Councillor Robinson?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Any other speakers for or against the motion? Councillor Grimble?
Thank you, Madam Acting Chair. I'm a little bit more cautious with this. As we know, this report had been up to Council previously, and on my motion it was deferred back for further consideration. And I did have a couple of concerns around the capacity of the change to capture our marketing activities. And I would like to foreshadow a motion which would address my concerns. And I believe that if I'm to support the recommendation in part thereof, I believe we should do a review of Horsham Pacific marketing, and we should conduct that review in a 12-month period to make sure that indeed we are capturing the marketing requirements of not only Horsham, but indeed some of our other key features such as Mount Arapiles and Wartook Valley, Dazzles Bridge and those other areas that may be missed. So let's do a review, and I foreshadow a motion to capture that. Councillor Robinson raised a valid point around the parking accessibility to over-length vehicles and those caravans, how they might be able to park and then access the town hall site. I believe that should be formed part of the review as well. And indeed, if there's a requirement to have a look at how we might manage a significant impact, we should do that as well. I'll support the recommendation in principle. I understand the nature of this Grampians Tourism Visitor Review, but I would like to see the fact that council do this with some caution, and we do that with an opportunity to maybe take some other course of actions which might alleviate some of the issues being raised. But there's two for me, and Councillor Robinson has raised one. The other one, which I would like to have a more understanding, is to make sure that the marketing of Horsham as a municipality is not lost through what I see as a branding of Grampians Tourism, and Grampians Tourism straight away draws me not necessarily to Horsham, not necessarily to Mount Arapiles, but to other locations which I don't want to see our municipality miss out on. So foreshadowing a motion, but I'll leave my comments at there. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I actually agree with the first two dot points in the recommendation. It was a third one that I found a bit conflicting for me, and at the previous meeting it was one of the areas that I was quite cautious of. My father loves to drive around Horsham with his trailer on, and he finds it quite difficult at times to get parking spots. So I can imagine someone coming in with a caravan to find it even more difficult. Considering my father lives here, like within the municipality, it's a little less daunting for him to know where to park and to have to walk a little bit further. However, if we've got people coming in who are not familiar with Horsham or who are coming here for a visit, I think having adequate parking for them to attend a visitor information centre is crucial. If we are to review and make sure that we are constantly checking how we're doing things for best practice and whether or not it is functioning adequately, then I'd be more than happy to support the recommendation as it's been put up.
Thank you, Councillor Goulburn. Any other speakers? If not, I'd just like to comment that this review has taken months and months of hard work by a lot of people. And having travelled last year through Europe, most of the information centres were in the centre of town. They were around art galleries or other areas that you would like to go and have a look at the same time. So this is a worldwide trend. It's not just happening in Horsham, it's happening everywhere in Australia and overseas as well. The Tourist Information Centre, where it is at the moment, is a huge cost to council. And when we're looking at budgeting, we need to look at the costs as well as the availability for people. I think the option of the town hall nowadays is a wonderful option where people are coming into town. They can go to the art gallery, they can have a look around. I think it's a great option. The reality is the information service is used less and less every year because people are going online. So we need to look at the value and the way that it works for the community nowadays. And I think this is a really good outcome. So I'm going to vote for the motion. And I also support Councillor Grimble's suggestion that we do review it, that we do keep up to date with how it's working, and making sure that if there are issues, that we're given time to make considerations on those issues. But I'm going to ask now for everyone to vote on.
A point of order procedurally. Can we split the motions, please, and deal with the motions individually?
So which part would you like to separate, Councillor Grimble?
The third recommendation.
Yep. Can we do that after the debate has happened, Mr. Barlow?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit late, I think, because the only thing we have to do now is get a reply or the right of reply from Councillor Coney.
Sorry, Councillor Grimble.
Just a clarification for the. I'm actually changing Councillor Koenig's motion. All I'm doing is requesting that the voting of Councillor Koenig's motion be adjusted so each individual dot point is voted on.
Yeah, I think we've all debated though as a block.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the debate has happened, you know, for all the three parts of the recommendation.
Sorry, Councillor Grimble. Councillor Koenig, you have right of reply.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Not a whole lot to add from my opening comments, just that I'd welcome the opportunity to, even with a couple of challenges, but where aren't there challenges these days, but I would welcome the opportunity to attract more people into the centre of town, more people to walk around, more people to buy coffees, more people to shop at our retail shops. With times as tough as they are at the moment, any opportunity to do that, bring people inside the CBD, is welcomed by me, and I do support the action of reviewing this as we move forward. Like any decision that has impacts on community and councils and operations, we'll continuously review them. So get something over the line doesn't mean it's locked in concrete forever and a day, but the intention is to, for me, the way I read it, the way I look at it, is to attempt to stimulate the economy even more so during a struggling time, you know, by moving something like this into the centre of the CBD. I think it's a great move.
Thank you, Councillor Koenig. I now put the motion. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried. Thank you. Can we have Councillor...
Sorry, Madam Mayor, could I have a division, please?
A division? Okay. All those in favour? Councillor Clark, Councillor Koenig, Councillor Power, Councillor Goulburn. Those against? Councillor Grimble and Councillor Robinson. That is noted. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
We've finished debating this issue. Can we have the Mayor come back in now, please?
Madam Mayor. Councillor Grimble, that actually foreshadowed a motion.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, can I move that a review of the Horsham Pacific marketing and parking provisions be conducted in 12 months' time?
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Do we have a second of that motion?
Sorry, Madam Chair, we just get the motion again.
Say that slowly, Councillor Grimble.
Okay. The motion is that Council review the Horsham Pacific marketing and the parking provisions in 12 months' time.
You got that, Mr. Barlow?
Yes, Madam Chair, yes.
Okay, we have a seconder of Councillor Goulburn. Councillor Grimble.
I think this motion's straightforward, Madam Acting Chair, so I don't need to talk to it. It's self-explanatory. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Goulburn, did you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you. Just in relation to that, I just think having a review of the action is a really good step to take, and it'll just assist us in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Goulburn. I'd just like to add the comments of Councillor Grimble about insurer-specific marketing be delivered for our area, I think is a really good point. And I have been critical in the past of the tourism board in that we often miss out. So I think reviewing that in 12 months is also a good idea. Okay, councillors, I put that motion. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you.
I'll go and get the mayor, Madam Chair.